mercy. We're turning this evening for our scripture reading to the book of Galatians. Once again, we were in this book last Lord's Day evening. It's not by design, but by the leading of the Spirit that we're here again tonight. Galatians chapter 3. Galatians chapter 3. I just want to read some verses from verse 22 onwards. Just three or four verses before we come to the Word of God for tonight. Looking at the subject of a firm but a fair teacher. So let's come to Galatians chapter 3 and let's read from verse 22. But the Scripture hath concluded all under sin, that the promise by faith of Jesus Christ might be given to them that believe. But before faith came, we were kept under the law, shut up unto faith, which should afterwards be revealed. Wherefore, the law was our schoolmaster to bring us unto Christ, that we might be justified by faith. But after that faith has come, we are no longer under a schoolmaster. Amen. May the Lord bless these few verses to our hearts tonight. The words of verse 24 will form our text for tonight. Wherefore the law was our schoolmaster to bring us unto Christ. With the Word of God open before us, let's just fill our hearts again in a word of prayer and let's seek for the Lord's help. Heavenly Father, we thank Thee this evening already for Thy presence with us. We thank Thee, O God, tonight for the messages and song that have been brought to our hearts. We praise Thee, Lord, that tonight already we've been brought to the cross. Our Father, we pray that tonight You'll intensify that awareness and that sense of Thy presence. We ask, O God, that tonight You'll speak and speak very clearly through the Word of God tonight, not through the words of this preacher. We pray, Lord, that tonight You'll be pleased to glorify Thy name and bring many sons to glory tonight. Use Thy Word, O God, we pray, in the conviction of the lost. And this night we pray that the lost will be brought to Thyself. Hear and answer prayer. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. I'm sure we can all think back to our school days with memories of particular teachers who stand out in our minds as either being very good at their job or else being exceptionally strict and ruling, as we would say, with an iron fist, and sometimes quite literally with an iron fist. Certain teachers had a reputation for those individuals you would avoid at all costs, because if punishment needed to be meted out, it was normally such teachers who did it. It wasn't only dished out with their hands, but often with their voices and the pitch of their voices. You would have known just how stern and how strict they were. I often felt sorry for such teachers, to be honest, because they seemed to live such a miserable existence, and they seemed to hate everybody and hate everything, and you dare look at them sideways, well, you knew about it and you heard about it. However, there were rules to be imposed, and sometimes rules were broken, and then the punishment had to be meted out. You would know, of course, that me being the individual that I was, didn't experience that too often. But I was chastised one time in primary school by a teacher who actually was a relative of mine, but that's by the way. And that was for laughing in class, wasn't for doing anything else but merely laughing. The problem was she had just taken a dislike to me. I can't understand why. And I just never got over that. And I laughed and I felt the force of the wooden ruler as a result. But school days were great, weren't they? Well, tonight we want to go back to school. And tonight we want to go back down the corridors of the schoolhouse and back into the rooms of the classroom, and tonight we want to sit in the class, and tonight we want to listen to another teacher giving another lesson. We want to listen this evening to a teacher instructing us and educating us. The teacher tonight is not this preacher. The teacher tonight is not this church. But the teacher, rather, this evening is the law of God. It's the standards that God lays down. It is the requirements that the Lord demands. And this school teacher this evening, as we will see, is very firm, because this teacher demands nothing but absolute conformity to the rules and to the standards that are laid down. This teacher is very firm. But as we will go on and see, this teacher is also very fair. Because while certain rules and certain regulations are laid down, and while they tell us that we of ourselves cannot meet those rules and regulations, yet they tell us of one who is able to meet all of those standards that are required for us. One who took our punishment for the broken law that we had broken. In school there are rules and there are laws to be abided by, and if you broke those laws there is a punishment. In God's schoolhouse as well there are laws tonight. His law laid down in the Ten Commandments. But the problem is that we have broken every single law of God. Every single rule of God we have broken. The law teaches us that tonight. But praise God, the law does more than that. Because the law points past our failures. And the law points past our sin and teaches us and leads us to Christ, leads us to the Savior, leads us, as we read there in verse 24, unto Christ. And that's where we want to get to this evening. Of course, that ought to be the aim of every gospel preacher. We ought to get to Christ in all that we seek to preach and all that we seek to proclaim. But in this lesson tonight, in this education that we want to look at tonight, we want to see past the law. Yes, we'll look at the law, but we want to see past it. And this evening we want to come to Christ. Some things considering the law very simply that we want to leave with you this evening as we are taught in the law tonight. As the law would teach us, not the law of this church, not the law of the country, but rather the law of God. I want you to see, first of all, with me here, the strength of the law. The strength of the law. You see, when we consider the law of God, its teaching and its instruction, its purpose, we must always start by seeing what the law is seeking to tell us. That's what every teacher will seek to instruct their pupils. They will seek to educate them, seek to instruct them. Well, what is this schoolmaster tonight? What is this teacher teaching us? And as we look at this, we see just how stern and how strict the law is. Because the first and the primary lesson and the main strength of God's law tonight is that it shows us and it teaches us that we are sinners. That we have broken the law of God in every part. How do we know tonight that we're sinners? How do you know tonight that you are a sinner? It is by the law of God. Paul, writing to the church at Rome, he said, "For by the law is the knowledge of sin. And the law is holy, the law is just, it is good." But tonight, you see, we are unholy, we are unjust, we are anything but good. That is why tonight society shuns away from the law of God, because the law shows us what we are before God. The law teaches us that we are sinners. Now, let me point something out to you here. The law doesn't make us sinners. We are already sinners. But the law shows to us that we are lawbreakers, that we have broken the law. The object lesson here to show us that we are sinners in the sight of a holy God is the law of God. The tutorial, the lesson here is that we are already sinners. You see, people tonight have this conception in their mind that they are all right now. But if they stand before God still in their sin, it's them that they will be condemned. Well, as we will see in a moment, we're already sinners, born in sin. This night, if you do not have Jesus Christ within your heart, and you've never been to the cross, well, you are already a sinner. Not because this preacher tells us that, but it's because the law of God teaches us and instructs us that we are already sinners. You go down the list of the Ten Commandments, the moral law of God, and you reflect on those times when you didn't put God first. You reflect on those times when you put other gods before the living and the true God. You think of those times when you coveted. You think of those times when you made idols. You say, I'm not an idol worshiper. I'm not talking about idols of wood or stone. But idols of hobbies, idols of people, idols of activities, idols of sport, idols of organizations. And you put them all before God. Those times when you didn't honor your parents as you should. Those times when you bore false witness and told that lie. Those times when you committed murder. What? Committed murder? I've never killed anybody. Would you know what the Bible teaches us tonight? 1 John chapter 3 and the verse 15. That whosoever hateth his brother is a murderer. Whosoever hateth his brother is a murderer. Those times when you have thought ill against someone. You see what I'm trying to do here? You go down that law. And you go down those commandments. And we've all broken them in some part. It's the law that reveals to us that we are a sinner. You look at verse 19 of Galatians chapter 3. It says, therefore, then serveth the law, it was added because of transgressions. You see, the law of God was added to reveal sin. Sin was already there. Maybe tonight you feel you're good enough. Maybe tonight you think you're all right and everything's fine with you. My friend, look into the law of God and see that you are a sinner in the sight of a holy God. Tonight, see that law as a reflection of the holiness and the purity of God. And tonight, see your own impurity and your own imperfection and your own sin before a holy God. Tonight, see your wretched, miserable, lost condition. Tonight, you're a sinner. Not because I say so, but rather tonight because God's law reveals it. You break the law of God in one part, you break the law of God in all parts. Tonight the law of God reveals you're a sinner. That's the strength of the law. But the strength of the law continues in not only revealing our sin, but it also reveals our guilt. Because you go back to verse number 10 of Galatians chapter 3. And this is a very interesting part of this chapter. Because Paul here, he pulls the rug from under these self-righteous Galatians. And they're making reference to one of their heroes, Abraham. And they believe that Abraham was saved by the keeping of the law. But Paul pulls the rug from under such an idea in the verses leading up to verse 10. And look what he says in verse number 10. For as many as are of the works of the law are under the curse. From the beginning of time, right to this very time, all have been under sin revealed by the law of God. But worse than that, we are all under the curse of God, and we are guilty before God because of our sin. Sinner, tonight you're guilty. You're cursed. What was the curse of the broken law? What did God say to Adam in the garden? What was the penalty for not keeping the commands of God? It was death and separation. And tonight that still bears true. You see, tonight, sinner, because of your sinnership before God, you're under already a death sentence. You're already separated from God. The penalty of the broken law is death. And tonight, sinner, in the courtroom of God, the judgment has already been passed. You're condemned. You're sentenced. Already. It's not that you're going to wait for another time for the Lord to give you your sentence. Right now, right at this very moment, sinner in this meeting, you're sentenced to a lost eternity. And it's only by the long suffering of God, it's only by the mercy of God that He hasn't already sentenced you and put you in that lost eternity. You see, tonight the judge's gavel, his hammer, it slammed down on your case tonight, and the judge makes the decision, the judge of all the earth, guilty. Guilty. Tonight, sinner, you're guilty before a holy God because you've broken His law in every part. Tonight, sinner, you're already condemned. Such is the strength of the law of God. Is it any wonder today that the law of God is so easily set aside? Because man doesn't want to acknowledge and man doesn't want to admit his sin. Man wants to tell you of all of his good points. Man wants to tell you of all of his uprightness and all of his morality. Listen, tonight it doesn't matter what you think yourself, it matters what God thinks. And tonight before a holy God, you're a sinner. The law reveals your sin. The law reveals your guilt. That is the strength of the law. But I want us to come a little further and see not only the strength of the law, but I want us to see now the satisfaction made for the law. You see, the law says, do and live. Keep every precept, every detail, do it and you'll live. But we could never do that. Because of sin, we've fallen short of God's law. Adam, our first parents in the garden, Adam was the only man who could ever have been saved by works. But he fell. He disobeyed. And sinner, tonight, you're not saved by doing this. You're not saved by doing that. Because you will never live up to the standards that God requires. Yes, tonight the law will say do and live, but it won't work. But thank God tonight in the gospel and in grace, the Lord Jesus Christ tonight says to you, believe and live. Believe tonight because Christ, in His death, and the punishment and the pain that He bore on the cross, He satisfied the law on your behalf. Look at verse 24 again. The law is our schoolmaster. The word schoolmaster there, it means lead one to another. And we've noticed how firm the law is, how strict the law is. But now we see how fair the law is because it doesn't leave us in that wretched condition. It doesn't tell us that we're sinners. It doesn't tell us simply that we're guilty before God and just leave us there. Praise God, tonight it points to one who met the law of God fully and completely, and that is Christ. You see, the law itself could never save. You turn back to Galatians chapter 2 and the verse 16. Galatians chapter 2 and verse 16, it says, knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by the faith of Jesus Christ. The law could never save. Only Christ could save. What the law does is to show you, yes, your sin, but more importantly, show you your Savior. Show you tonight that there is one who through His life and through His death fully satisfied the law of God on your behalf. You see, tonight the law shows us our sinfulness. But more than that, the law points us to one who bore our sin, took our guilt, and took our punishment on the cross in His own body. Paul, again writing to the church at Rome, he said, Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believeth. And sinner, this evening, as you have been confronted with your sin, as you've been confronted with your wretched condition before a holy God, as you've been confronted tonight that you're guilty before God, and tonight as you've been confronted with the reality that you can do nothing to release yourself from this guilt or save yourself from this sin, tonight we point you to one who satisfied the law fully, perfectly, completely on your behalf. And that one is Christ. One is the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Tonight, sinner, I do not point you to a creed. This evening, sinner, I don't point you to a confession. I don't point you to a list of do's and don'ts and to a list of rules to be obeyed. But tonight, I rather point you to a Savior who is to be believed. Tonight I point you to Christ and see in Him the one who was holy and harmless and undefiled. The one who was made sin for you. The one who through His life kept every precept and detail of the law. The one who through His death paid the penalty for the law and made total, complete satisfaction for your sin. Tonight I point you to Christ, the only one who's able to make you right in the sight of a holy God. And see tonight in Christ your only Savior and your only hope. Tonight see Christ who took your curse and took your condemnation on the cross that you might be freed from the curse of the law. Christ is the promised Messiah from all eternity. We don't have time to go into this chapter. It's a wonderful chapter. But in verse 16 and other verses as well, it speaks about the promise. The promise. And the promise, of course, is Christ. That promise given away back in the book of Genesis in the chapter 3 and the verse 15. That first gospel promise where the Lord promised just after man had fallen into sin. And He promised the Redeemer. He promised a Savior. You see, tonight the law doesn't disannul the promise. The law doesn't change the promise. The law is not greater than the promise. The law doesn't contradict the promise who is Christ. Tonight the law leads you to the promise. It must lead you to the promised Savior who is the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, tonight without Him, you would be in despair. Tonight, without the Lord Jesus Christ, you would be totally hopeless. You would remain desperate. And you would remain without hope because there is nothing, nothing you can do by your own efforts to remove yourself from the curse of the law which you are under. But look at verse 13. We've preached on this verse some months back. Verse 13. Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law. How? Being made a curse for us. Because as it is written, cursed is every one that hangeth on a tree. Christ was cursed. Think about it, sinner. Think about it, believer. Christ came under the curse and the condemnation of the broken law. Why? That we might be set free. That we might be saved from that curse. Sinner, tonight, see your sinfulness. Tonight, sinner, see your condemnation. But more than that, tonight, see your Savior, your only Savior, who is the Lord Jesus Christ, because He has redeemed from the curse of the law. We read of a rich young ruler over in Matthew 19, and he had everything in this life, all he needed. That young man had it all, everything this world could offer. And we read of a young man who lived a moral, upright, good life. And as far as he was concerned, he had kept the law. But Christ came to him and told him he hadn't. He was under the broken law of God. Sadly, that young man went away, rejecting Christ, rejecting his only hope. But maybe you're here tonight, and you too, like that young man in Matthew 19, you're moral, you're upright, you're good living. You don't lack anything in this world. You have enough. But you see, like that young man in Matthew 19, of which we read, your life is empty. You know there must be something more to this life than what you presently have. Tonight there's an emptiness in your heart and in your life because you don't have Christ. You don't have the forgiveness of sins and the knowledge of sins forgiven tonight. You don't have the Lord Jesus Christ ruling and reigning in your heart. Therefore tonight I urge you to come to Jesus Christ. This night turn to Christ. He took your condemnation. And tonight He alone can save you from the curse of the broken law that you're under. The strength of the law, it shows us that we're sinners. The satisfaction made for the law, it's only found in Jesus Christ. But finally, as we close tonight, notice the salvation from the law. Because look how verse 24 concludes. That we might be justified by faith. But after that faith has come, we are no longer under a schoolmaster. You see, tonight, there is salvation. Tonight, there is forgiveness. Tonight, you can be justified, which means being made right in the sight of a holy God. Your sins forgiven. Tonight, we've presented to you Christ as your only Savior. Tonight we have told you that there's only one way that you can be redeemed from the curse of the law, and that is Christ. But you must receive and believe. What does that mean? What does it mean to believe? What does it mean to have faith? Well, it means to turn away from your sin. It means to own up to your sin. Stop trying to hide tonight your sin. Rather tonight, own up to it. Acknowledge your sin, leave your sin behind, and by faith, and faith in Christ alone, receive Jesus Christ. We talked of a number of the pillars of the Reformation last Lord's Day evening. Here's another one. Faith alone. Faith alone in Christ alone. There is no other way that you can be saved. You see, tonight Christ is ready, stands ready to be your Savior. Tonight Jesus Christ is able and willing to save you. But you must come the way of the cross. Tonight you must be saved. Tonight you must exercise saving faith alone in Jesus Christ. You see, tonight, if having been pointed and shown your sin, if tonight having been shown your guilt before a holy God, if tonight you continue on in your sin, then you've missed the whole point. Tonight, if the law doesn't lead you to Christ, then you are still under the curse and the condemnation of that law. The law tonight condemns you, but Christ can redeem you. The law tonight rises up to bring you down to hell, but Christ satisfied the law fully tonight, and you can be free. And tonight you can be saved. And tonight you can be set free from all the rigors of the law. Free from the law. Oh, happy condition. Jesus hath died and there is remission. Cursed by the law and bruised by the fall. Grace hath redeemed us once for all. Once for all, O sinner, believe it. Once for all, O brother, receive it. Cling to the cross, your burden will fall. Christ redeemed us. once for all. Tonight are you free from the law? Tonight are you saved? Or as you sit in this gospel meeting tonight, you're still under the curse of that broken law for your sin. And tonight there still is that death sentence hanging over your head. I urge you tonight to come to Jesus Christ. I urge you tonight to come no longer be under the schoolmaster, be under the law, but tonight be in Christ. And tonight as you have sat in God's classroom and been taught by God's Holy Spirit, and tonight as the law has revealed to you your sin, tonight as the law has revealed to you that you're not good enough, tonight as the law has revealed to you that by your own works you cannot be right with God, you've sat in God's classroom. But you've also sat in God's judgment room tonight. Because the hammer of God's justice has fallen upon you. And tonight you've been found guilty. The sentence has already been passed. You're condemned to death and eternal damnation and separation from God and a lost eternity from which there is no escape. No early release there. No parole. No probation. No possibility of being released from a lost eternity. But while in God's classroom, we've been taught about our sin. While in God's judgment room, we've been taught about our condemnation and our guilt. Thank God tonight that in God's mercy room we've been taught about His salvation. Because you see, from Mount Sinai, from which the law was given to Moses, look away to Mount Calvary, where the Lord Jesus Christ became a curse for us that you might be free. Look away tonight to Calvary, to that middle tree, and see one bleeding, dying in your place and bearing all the weight of the law that you had broken and you could never keep. Tonight, see that it's only through the finished atoning work of Christ on the cross that you can ever be set free from the guilt and the condemnation of sin. Geographically, the distance between Sinai and Calvary is measured in miles. But spiritually, tonight the distance between Sinai where the law was given and Calvary where the law was satisfied by Christ is measured by faith. Therefore tonight will you look to Christ by faith and be saved. Tonight will you be redeemed from the curse of the law. Tonight will you be released from the condemnation that you're under right now. This evening will you be saved. Tonight will you be right with God. That death sentence hangs over you right now. And who knows just when in God's time that sentence will ultimately come to fruition as you are ushered out into eternity. You stand before the judge of all the earth. Tonight, as Helen was singing, there's room at the cross for you. Millions have come, and there's still room for one. Tonight, there's room at the cross for you. Will you come tonight? Will you come to the Lord Jesus Christ and be saved? And set free from the curse that you're currently under. You come tonight and receive Jesus Christ as your Savior. Let's bow in prayer.